The following audio is brought to you by Summerside Community Church in London, Ontario. For more information on Summerside, visit us online at www.summersidechurch.ca.
We're back in the book of James, so I'd encourage you to take your Bibles, turn to page 1216 if you're using one of the Bibles in the chair in front of you. It's on page 1216, and we will be reading that in a minute. A couple of weeks ago, Devin mentioned that he was leaving right after the service to start his vacation. Well, I want to be as good as Devin, so I am leaving right after the service, and Faith and I are starting our vacation. Devin went to Malawi to learn about poverty. I'm going to Florida to learn about creation, okay? palm trees, you know, sand. actually, the reason why we're leaving right after the service is we want to drive to Cincinnati because tomorrow morning we want to visit Noah's Ark down there. Like there's a full-scale replica of Noah's Ark, and people that have been there said it's a great thing to see, and so we're looking forward to that. Fits in with the creation theme, right? So that's where that goes. But I know that as we get out of there, you know, when you preach, you know, the adrenaline's running. I'll be fine for the first hour or so, but you know, by around 2:30 or 3 o'clock, I'm gonna probably be feeling a little tired. Faith hates to drive, so I'm going to have to stop and either have a coffee, have an nap, or she's going to have to drive. Because we all know that there's a danger when you're driving of falling asleep at the wheel, right? And studies have shown that people will fall asleep at the wheel much quicker than they think they will, right? So that's why it's such a dangerous thing. We all think, oh, I can stay awake. I can fight it. I can do it. But it is a really dangerous thing to do, to fall asleep at the wheel. Now, that is probably true also about falling asleep in church. People probably think they can stay awake longer than they can, right? They fall asleep in church. It does happen, you know. Pastors that I know say it happens in their church. I know it doesn't happen here, but I know it does happen here. My father has a great story about my grandfather falling asleep in church. There were seven kids in the family, and they would all sit together in church. And one day my grandfather fell asleep in church. And so grandma passes the word down to wake up grandpa. And guess who's sitting beside grandpa but my dad? He's the one who nudges him and says, "Hey, dad." He says, "Yeah, what do you want?" It's like, it's great. But one of the most famous stories of somebody falling asleep in church is actually recorded in the Bible. And it's the reason why people don't call their kids Eutychus. Okay? Because Eutychus is the name of the boy who fell asleep in church. And he actually died falling asleep in church, which is a good reason not to fall asleep in church, right? But the story of Eutychus is interesting because Paul is traveling around, and he comes back and meets with the believers, and they're in this third story in this building, and they're in a room, and Luke records the details. So Luke was there. He remembers it. He said the lamps, the oil lamps were burning, and it was hot, you know, and it's like the oxygen was getting sucked out of the air. And Luke actually says Paul went on and on, and Eutychus was sitting on the windowsill on the third floor. He fell asleep and died. Fell out of the window, third floor down, and died. Now, Paul didn't want to, you know, end things, so he went down and actually threw himself on top of Eutychus, raised him back from the dead, and they went back upstairs, and he continued on till it was morning time. One pastor told his congregation, you know, that said, "You shouldn't be complaining about me preaching a long time, because Paul once preached all night long." And somebody piped up and said, "The day you can raise the dead, you can preach as long as you want." It's like, well, I don't get too bothered about people falling asleep in church, because I know that there are a lot of reasons why people fall asleep. I mean, some of you are on medication that makes you tired, okay? I get that. Some of you, I know, have probably been up all night with kids, right? I know that. I And our grandkids, you know, we remember what that's like. And even when they stay overnight, you know, something happens and you got to get up in the middle of the night. And so some of you maybe work the afternoon shift and you're tired, right? You haven't been getting your normal sleep. And some of you are just at that age of life where it's just hard to sleep, right? And you're not, it's easy to fall asleep in a situation like this. But sometimes the enemy does take advantage of us, and he tries to get us to feel drowsy and to give in to our drowsiness because he doesn't want us to hear the word. Now, let me tell you that if at any time you feel tired and you feel like you could fall asleep in church, feel free to get up and stand at the back, get a drink of water, whatever you need to. That doesn't bother us, okay? We would much rather have you moving around and standing up at the back rather than just trying to fight it and not paying attention, because God wants to speak to you. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God actually wants to say something to you? He has given us his word because he wants us to hear what he has to say. So it's important for us to listen. That's why what James is talking about in this passage is something far worse than falling asleep in church. And it's far worse than falling asleep at the wheel. I want to call it falling asleep at the word. Because falling asleep at the word of God is something far more serious than falling asleep in church and something you can, you know, read later. It's important for us to listen to what God says. Now, I realize that as we read this passage, you're going to say, sleeping isn't mentioned here in James. Well, no, it isn't. But the concept here is the same one that Paul and Peter use in other passages of scripture where they say, be sober, be vigilant, wake up, you need to listen. You're going to be tempted to be distracted, to be turned away from God. You need to listen to what God is saying because God wants to speak to you and you better not miss it. Now, just to fit this into the passage that we're dealing with here, The first part of James that we've been looking at is all talking about trials, how we respond to trials. We're all facing trials in life. We need to recognize we can respond to them properly. But then now at this passage here that we're looking at today, these three verses, there's a change of subject. James often changes the subject many times in this passage, but sometimes he makes a connection. In this case, he actually makes a connection because in verse 18, notice that he says he's been talking about how we were given birth through the word of truth. And it's almost like James says, oh, by the way, about that word of truth that you got birth from, let me tell you something about the importance of listening to what God is saying. So let me read it for you in verse 9, starting in verse 19 to verse 21. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Now, these three verses are like an intro to this next section. Devin's going to be dealing with it next week. And you could say that the section we're looking at today is how we hear the word of God. And next week is how we heed the word of God. So one is like listening and the other one is doing, the importance of listening and the importance of doing. Now, some of you are going to be tempted to fall asleep and some of you are maybe even planning on it. Some of my best naps as a kid were in church. Some of the sweetest memories, laying my head on my mother's lap as my dad preached late, you know, this is in the evening service, not in the morning. But here's the point of the message so that you don't miss it. Here, we need to hear God's word with holiness and with humility. That's what James is saying. You need to make sure you hear God's word with holiness and humility. Now, when we think about this, These people were living at a time when the society around them was not buying into what they were believing. Okay, these people were trusting in Jesus who had died and rose again not long ago, not many years previous to this. They were following Jesus. They were trusting Jesus. They were going against the whole grain of Judaism, all the other, the Roman and the Greek religions that were around. And people did not like that. And they were being persecuted for what they believed, initially from the Jews. And these people were feeling pressure from the society around them to say, don't believe that. That's foolishness. You need to believe what the majority believes. Does that sound familiar? Isn't that what we're facing in our world, living in Canada today? I mean, there are certain things that we know God has said, and it's like, this just doesn't fit with today's society. I mean, the general consensus of society goes right against what God says, goes right against God's standards for marriage, for family, for all kinds of things, for even life and death, like suicide, you know, doctor-assisted suicide. Like those things just seem to be totally inconsistent with what the Bible says. And we can feel pressure from the world around us to say, no, don't listen to that old stuff. You need to listen to what society, because the majority knows best. And we're feeling the same pressure they were feeling. And we need to listen carefully to understand what James is challenging us to do. To hear God's word. But to hear it with humility and with holiness. Because it's so important to understand what he's trying to communicate to us. Now let's start with verse 19 with the first challenge to hear God's word. A number of years ago, Faith had a little shelf that she picked up somewhere, and it had like three little stands on it. And those three little stands had three little animals on it. And the three animals were representing this verse. And she wanted this to be, it was right in the kitchen, so that every once in a while she would just point to the animals and say, don't forget this. Because what we're going to find in this verse are basic principles of communication, like basic rules for how to effectively communicate. And we could do a message just on that, but that's not the main point of what James is getting at. But if you want to learn to communicate better with your spouse, then you need to follow these three things. Kids, if you want to communicate better with your parents, you need to follow these three things and remind your parents that these are the three things they need to follow if they're going to listen to you, right? To communicate, because it goes both ways. But if you want to get along better with the people you work with, your boss, you need to follow these three basic rules. And in order for you to remember them, I'm giving you the three animals that you're to help you remember them, okay? So the first one is we need to be quick to listen. The first thing Faith had was a rabbit, right? You need to think of the rabbit. The rabbit's a little quick little bunny. You need to be quick to listen. What we like to do with this is we like to switch the words around. We like to listen quickly, right? Instead of quick to listen. And why? Because we're in a time when we have communication overload. This week I saw some statistics. They were old statistics from back in 2017. Okay, now that's old. When you consider the statistics I'm giving you, they're old statistics from 2017. Every minute in our world, 16 million text messages are sent. Every minute in our world, 156 million emails are sent. Every minute. And out of those, like 100 million of them are spam. Some of you say, I get half of those, right? It's like, but you think about the information overload. And you add to that the billions of Facebook posts that are out there. And I tried to find numbers. The way they talk about Facebook is they talk about memory. And it's like, you know, we talk about megabytes and gigabytes and terabytes. Well, now they're in like petabytes and something else bytes. And they're talking about numbers that we can't even conceive. Like the amount of information. 90% of all of the world's information has been generated in just the last few years. 90% of all of history has been generated because it's like information overload. So what does that make us tend to do? To listen quickly, right? Just a, it's like, oh, Facebook? Swipe up. So, not interested. Oh, that's interesting. Oh, no, yeah, okay. Read the first two paragraphs, swipe. Or with emails, you got to swipe sideways, right? It's like, yeah, read that heading. No, not interested, not interested. No, no, maybe not. It's like we're processing information really quick. And so what happens when, you know, you hear your wife says something? Well, I'm trying to read something too. And so she says, and then she says, I wasn't listening. It's like, how can that be? I was listening, but I was also reading, and I was also, we don't stop and just listen. And parents, when we do that with our kids, it's devastating. It's no wonder our kids get exasperated, say, we need to stop and we need to listen. So we need to be quick to listen like a rabbit. Instead of listening quickly, let's be quick to listen. Let's say, oh, I need to stop. I need to listen. Let me make sure I'm doing that. Rather than saying, no, I'll sort of listen here, listen there. And we're not really doing what James is telling us to do. And we pray, Lord, speak to me. But I've only got 5 minutes, so you better make it quick, right? I gotta get going. I got stuff to do. I got places to go. I have things to, people to see, people to talk to, things that are happening. Make it quick. No wonder God says to us in Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. Be still. Like put aside all that stuff. Turn your phone off. Turn the TV off. Turn the radio off. Be still. Stop and listen, because God wants to speak to you. God has things that he has communicated to you, and he's going to use the word of God to help you to see the truth that he wants for you that can change your life. That's why this is so important. And James realizes that when you're in the pressure, in the trials, life is difficult, and it can be so overwhelming. You're so focused on everything that's going on, you're not stopping to listen to what God is saying. So you need to be quick to listen like a rabbit. And then the second one that he gives us says you need to be slow to speak. What's the other animal that we think of as slow? The turtle, right? Slow to speak. Not only are we bombarded with this information that we tend to ignore, but it's interesting that it causes people today to share a lot, right? Isn't it interesting how Facebook has caused people to share things they would have never shared in like 20 years ago? Like, who cares what you had for breakfast? It's like, you know, it's like some things is fun. You know, it's fun to know if with friends and maybe, you know, if with close friends, I may be interested in what you had for breakfast. But I don't care about my, you know, third's cousin's uncle's nephew's brother who did something, and it's like we share all kinds of information, and what happens is that people get this sense that everybody wants to hear my opinion, because after all, I'm right, right? And so people are sharing their opinions on Facebook that they would have never shared before, and what ends up happening is that people very quickly jump to wrong conclusions because they heard something that somebody thought they said, or some news item that supposedly was true. And so they start believing that, and they start sharing it. And then we have people sharing their opinion, people being quick to judge, right? And you've seen all kinds of examples of that, where people, you know, something shows up and people automatically assume something about the person, which could be totally off base. People are quick to condemn, and they're quick to offer advice. And that's just the opposite of what James is saying. Be slow to speak. If you want to be quick to listen, but be slow to speak. And when it comes to our relationship with God, we need to be quick to listen and slow to speak. This is a theme that shows up in Proverbs. And James borrows a lot from Proverbs. In fact, some people talk about James as like a commentary on some of the Proverbs. In Proverbs 10:19, too much talk leads to sin. Be sensible and keep your mouth shut. Like, that's direct, okay? But sometimes we need to hear it directly. Proverbs 11:12, the one who has understanding holds their tongue. Proverbs 17:28, even fools are thought wise when they keep silent. with their mouths shut, they seem intelligent. Is that interesting? You meet somebody and say, oh, it seems like a smart person until they start talking, giving their opinion, and say, that person's whacked. It's like, if we're going to hear God's word, then we need to be like a rabbit, quick to listen, like the turtle, slow to speak. And then third, we need to be slow to get angry, which is going to be like a lamb. Okay, so you have the rabbit, the turtle, and the lamb. Don't forget those three animals. The next time you see one of those animals, you're going to think, oh, James, yeah, James talks about how we're supposed to respond. This next one is a tough one, because the reality is we all get angry, right? There's nobody here that has never been angry. And if you think you've never been angry, let me encourage you, you need to go for counseling. Seriously, okay? Because you probably are repressing your anger and you're not responding properly. So we'll all naturally get angry. The question is, how do we deal with it? Because we get angry because things don't go our way. The things we expected didn't happen. Somebody does something to us that hurt us. We get frustrated by our circumstances, whether it's work or a family. And usually the frustration is because we didn't get our way, because it didn't go. It's a vicious circle. And these things happen all the time, right? Every day there are things that happen that can stir up anger in your heart. In Ephesians 4:26, Paul says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. He doesn't say, if you ever get angry, you're a really bad person. No, he says, you are going to get angry, but you need to learn how to respond to your anger. Because it's like an emotion that comes up and it becomes like a temptation. And the temptation is, what am I going to do with that anger? How am I going to respond to this emotion that I am feeling? And yes, Jesus did get angry. Jesus got angry when he cleared the temple of the money changers. And there is a place for righteous anger. You better get angry when you hear about children that are being abused. You better be angry at those people that are hurting kids. There's nothing wrong with that. The question is, what are you going to do about it? How are you going to respond? What's the proper way of responding to it? You see, the focus here is making sure that when you do feel that anger, that you respond properly to it. It doesn't have to control you. Did you notice when you were angry how hard it is to listen? Right? And that's why when couples are angry at each other and they're trying to communicate, you can't. It's a waste of time to yell at each other, or for one person to say, I'm not angry, and he slams the door walking out. Notice I said he, just because that's what I can relate to, right? When we're angry, we're not listening and we're not communicating. So you need to deal with that anger. You need to respond to that anger. And the most important thing you need to do when you feel angry is to stop and reflect. Don't start mouthing off because you're going to say something you shouldn't say. The first thing you should do when anger starts welling up inside of you, you need to stop and reflect. You need to ask yourself, why am I angry? Where is that anger coming from? What is it that am I frustrated with something? Am I failing to recognize that God is in control of this situation? Am I frustrated because I thought something was going to happen, but God had a different plan? And am I mad at God? Why am I angry? Stop and reflect. And learn to teach your kids how to respond to anger. This is important. If you have, for those of you who are parents, and if you want your kids to understand, when you see your kids getting angry, one of the first questions you could ask is, wonder where they learned that from. Where did they learn how to respond to their anger? What am I teaching them about how I should respond? What the proper way of a person responding to anger is? And what is my example showing to them? So we need to stop, reflect on our own anger, and then help our kids. So then the first thing you should do if your kids get angry, don't say, stop being angry. That's not going to accomplish anything. What good is that going to do? So what you need to do is you need to say, why are you angry? I see you're angry. I see you're frustrated. Why is that? And stop and listen. listen to what they have to say, figure out, and then help them think through that. What do you think? Help them to think through, what are you angry about? Why are you angry about that? Oh, you didn't get what you wanted. How does that make you feel? What do you think God wants us to do when we're feeling that way? And then you walk through it and you're teaching your kids how to deal with your anger. But in order to teach them that, you've got to deal with your own anger. And let me just encourage you that if you are angry and you don't know why, that's a sign that you need to go talk to somebody about that. You need to go to a counselor. I can recommend some good Christian counselors, and I'm serious that is it's a serious problem. Because if we are angry and we don't know why we're angry, it could be that there's something in our past, maybe even in our childhood, that we're not responding to properly, that's making us angry. Something is triggering anger in our hearts and we don't understand why. You need to go and help get a counselor to help you to figure out why you're feeling angry. What's going on inside of you that makes you feel that way, so that you can learn to deal with it and respond properly to it. So don't just ignore the anger in your kids. Listen to them. Help them to work through it. Now in verse 20, James gives us a reason for not being angry. And he says it doesn't produce the righteousness that God desires. Righteousness as in righteous living, the kind of living that God wants from us. Anger does not produce the kind of lifestyle because it demonstrates a lack of trust in God. It demonstrates a lack of love for others. So anger does not produce the kind of life God wants. You need to deal with your anger. So if you're feeling angry, stop, reflect, and be slow to be angry, so that if there is a situation where you should be angry, then you're going to respond properly. If you are mad at what's going on, think about it and allow that anger to motivate you to do what you should do. The positive thing that you can do to help change a situation if somebody's being hurt. Well, James continues by giving us two conditions that we need if we're going to hear God's word properly. So not only do we need to hear, listen quickly, and to be slow to be angry and to slow to speak, we need to hear God's word, but we need to do it, first of all, in verse 21, with holiness. Listening with holiness. He says in James 1:21, therefore get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent. Now, I've shared with many of you before, and if you're new to Summerside, you need to understand that I only commit four sins. I have two sons, but I commit four sins, three sons, two sins, four sins. These four sins are the same sins that you commit. And just about every sin you commit fits into one of these four categories. Fear, anger, lust, and pride. And there are different ways you can categorize sins, but in my experience and understanding, these four cover it all. What I've also noticed is that if my mind is consumed with fear, with anger, with lust, or with pride, I'm not listening to God. You can't. If I'm consumed with fear, I'm focused on myself and what could happen, and the last thing I'm thinking about is, well, God's in control. If my mind is consumed with anger, I'm focused on myself because my rights have been violated. Something has happened. I'm demanding. I'm not listening to God. If I'm consumed with lust, I want this thing or that person, or I'm longing for something else, then I'm not longing for God. And God is out of the picture. And if I'm consumed with pride, then it's all about me. Like, why do I need God? So James says, if you are going to listen to God, if you're going to hear what God has to say to you, you need to do it in holiness. You need to get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent. God is trying to speak to you. And if he's trying to speak to you and your heart is just consumed with something, it doesn't work. That's why I think men's boot camp is such a powerful time, because what it does is it helps guys to think about the sin in their lives that could be preventing them from hearing God. And for a lot of guys, it's an opportunity to stop, and over an extended period of time, to stop and identify, you know, this is something I need to put aside. And when they do that, all of a sudden, I'm hearing things that God is teaching me in his word that I never realized before. It was always there. What makes the difference? You weren't listening because this sin was just consuming, taking up your place, hearing God's word with humility, with holiness, and with humility. I find it interesting. In verse 21, he talks about this humility. And I find it interesting that when James talks about this, he doesn't just say, you need holiness, and holiness is all you need. There are some people that think that. And it's like, if I just really work hard enough and be a real spiritual person, then I'm going to be everything God wants me to be. But here's the danger. James realizes that there's a temptation for us to think that if we achieve a certain level of holiness, we're pretty good. Right? You know what it's like to think, hey, man, when I look at what I used to be and where I am today, man, God must be impressed. He must think I'm, because, you know, look, compared to this person over here, man, this person, they're so far behind me. I've made so much more progress than they have. I keep certain rules that they don't. Can you believe that they do those things and I don't? I must be so much better. And as soon as I start thinking that, as soon as I start thinking holiness is the greatest thing and I'm here, we're missing the point. And it's probably an indication that we have a long way to grow. So James doesn't just say hearing with holiness. He says we need to hear with humility. Humility. The more I'm impressed with myself and how good I'm doing, the less I'll be interested in what God has to say to me. Right? Because I don't need to. It's the same reason why we don't pray as much as we should. Because I don't need God. I did fine yesterday on my own and I didn't pray, so I'll be fine today too. But James says, if you're going to hear God's word, you need to have this sense of humility. You need to make sure that you are listening to what God says, hearing what he is saying to you, so that you're not just so consumed with yourself. You're consumed with what he has to say. You see, humility is saying to God, I desperately need you. I cannot make it on my own. I am not good enough, but you are. And Christ has provided all I need. I need his wisdom. I need his direction. I need him to help me to understand how to grow to become more like Christ. And I need to realize that he has provided what I need for that to happen. Humility is also listening with an openness to do something about what I'm learning. And that's going to be next week's message, because James is going to go on after talking about this. He's going to be talking about now you need to make sure that you put into practice what you're hearing, so that you're not only just listening to the word, but you're actually doing something about it. And notice what James says that we are to humbly accept. He says we need to humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. What does that mean? What is he talking about? This word planted in us, which can save us. Well, in the Old Testament, and these people only had the Old Testament. They didn't have the New Testament. So they had the Old Testament, and they knew that God's word for them was primarily the law. Now, here's the thing about the law. The law was a wonderful gift from God because it reflected God's character. It told the people how to relate to God, how to love God and love their neighbor. But the law was not sufficient. And the New Testament tells us that it was not sufficient. Not that it was bad, it was not sufficient. Because here's the problem, is that the law would say, you need to do this and do this and don't do this and don't do this and do this. And you would look at that and say, oh yeah, I failed there, and I really don't feel like doing that. Here's the amazing thing about the New Testament and about what Jesus did for us. The prophet Jeremiah told us that there was coming a day when God would establish a new covenant. So the law was the old covenant, and God was going to give us the new covenant. The new covenant was going to be something unique. And remember when Jesus in the upper room took the bread and the cup, and he passed it out to him, and when he gave him the cup, he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. And he also promised, I'm going to send you the Spirit to do a new work in your hearts. You see, the amazing thing about the work that Jesus did for us is that he takes the truth of God's word through his Spirit living in us, helps us to understand the truth in a new way. Jeremiah said the law would be written on our hearts. That's why now, as we study the Word of God, the Spirit helps us in a way that He wasn't helping those in the Old Testament. Because the law, through Christ, this new covenant, becomes a part of our lives. And we can understand, we can live by the Spirit, helping us to understand right and wrong. Now, you still need the Bible. It doesn't mean you go around and say, I don't need the Bible anymore because I have the Spirit. No, the Spirit takes the Word of God and applies it to our hearts. And He helps us to see how to deal with it in different situations. That's why we need to hear God's Word. We need to hear it listening like what? Like a rabbit, quick to listen. And we need to be slow to speak like what? Like a turtle. And we need to be slow to be angry. Like what? Like a lamb. And we need to hear God's word with holiness and with humility. Having an openness to what God is going to say to us. Now the question I want to end with is, how are you going to respond? Next week, James is going to challenge us with the whole need to not just hear the word, but to practice it. So I want to give you a head start so that you don't feel too convicted next week when Devin preaches, okay? Let's start putting into practice what we're learning. As I've been speaking, maybe something has come out and said, oh yeah, my anger, oh, pride, oh, this. There may be something that God has been pricking at your heart. Let me challenge you before we leave today. To take that to God and say, God, I want to do something about that this week. So I'm going to conclude with prayer, but before I pray, I'm going to give you a minute, a silent prayer, and I want you to just ask God to help you to deal with that issue that God has been pricking at your heart, something you've been learning here that you need to put into practice this week. And ask God to help you to do that. Ask God to help you to be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to be angry, so that you're hearing God's word with holiness and with humility. So take a minute to pray, and then I'll pray to conclude the service. Our Father, thank You for Your word. You didn't leave us on this earth to just guess what You were like and what You wanted for us. You've made it very clear. You've given us such specific instructions, including lots of history, including lots of information, to help us to understand who You are, what You've done for us, how You want us to live, how You want us to experience the life, the wonderful life that You've promised for us. But Father, we're people that have a hard time listening sometimes. And we're living in a world that just drives us away from listening to You. So we come to You, Father, and we want to honestly confess that we fail to listen like we should. Help us to learn to be quick to listen to Your word. Slow to speak so that we can take the time to hear from You. Slow to get angry so that that anger does not prevent us from hearing what You have to say to us. And as we look at our lives, Father, sin just tends to dominate our thinking. But we thank You that Jesus has provided a way for us to be free from sin, for us to experience forgiveness from sin. So help us, Father, to quickly come to You in confession and receiving the grace that You offer us, putting aside the sin that wants to prevent us from hearing You, and so that we can be holy and have our ears open to the truth. And Father, help us to have a humble heart so that we can listen to what You want us to say. Forgive us for the times when we have become self-dependent and sought to become independent, but help us to listen to You, because You have the words of truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We want to find that life in him. Thank you for your word. Thank you for teaching us. Help us to put it into practice and to encourage one another to do it likewise. In Jesus' name, amen.